You're listening to KDNK's special program, Special Affairs. For Land's Sake, I'm Bill Kite, your host. And today we're fortunate to have Frosty Marriott with us. Frosty, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me.
It's been a pleasure to talk with you about coming on the show. We had a chance to talk for a few minutes here, and we had a good talk here and sort of got ready for the show. So let's get going here. I've got some questions here for you that now that you're not on the trustees board, we can talk about some of the things, accomplishments you had.
Yeah, that'd be good to look back on all that, yeah.
Well, you moved here in 1998. What caused you to want to move to Carbondale?
You know, it was really what I refer to as one of the things in my life that was God scripted. I never could have figured this all out on my own. My biggest client lived in Destin, Florida, and he moved, and we were living over in Lakewood. And working for a CPA firm over there, and my client moved from Destin to Snowmass, and so he wanted me to come over and be closer to him, and so he offered me a job to be a CFO, Chief Financial Officer, and he told me he'd let me keep my tax practice. So that was just too good of a deal to pass up. And so I'd never heard of Carbondale at the time, which was really interesting. And looking back on that, I mean, wow, what a great, great thing that's been for Carly and I and Shiloh to be involved in this community. But we had a realtor who had showed us River Valley Ranch was basically under construction then. The golf course wasn't built. The clubhouse wasn't built. And he took us to eat at the poorhouse lunch. It was cloudy. You couldn't see Mount Sopras. And we ate at the poorhouse, and then he took us out Catherine Store Road to Highway 82, and it reminded me so much of where I grew up in North Louisiana, with the horses and the cows, and hitting the countryside right out of town. And I said, "This is where I want to be."
All right, you fit right in, didn't you?
Yeah. So
you know, you mentioned the word faith, and I know personally that you're a man of faith, and you have said some things when you retired from the 10 years of serving as a town trustee, and one of the first things you said was have faith in something bigger than yourself.
Yeah, and to me, obviously, that means to God,
right.
My mantra has become faith, family, and friends, and I have it on my morning quiet time that I repeat that and to try to keep that as the priority of my life. And as you well know, Bill, sometimes it's really not easy to keep that front in your in your psyche for a whole day, much less a week or
right.
a lifetime. But yes,
right.
but it you know if you if I think if you concentrate on that having faith in something bigger than yourself, it really gives you that perspective you need to get through life.
It does, and it really helps to do that every day, because every day you know you're going to face the dragon somewhere down the line.
Oh yeah, it's not if but when, right?
Right. Yet. Another thing you said was have vision. What was that?
Well, you know, I was really wanting to speak to our new board members then, because I was leaving. But I think one of the things that officials, public officials, is not as much in locals, but especially on a national level, to get caught up in, I don't think they have vision. I don't think sometimes they look past the next election or the fundraiser for the next election. And things are happening so fast now in this world with the internet and all. And we can look back with that perspective. And now that we have, reached that, I've been doing stuff for 50 years, picking up trash for 50 years.
Right.
And I look back and it's moving so quickly now. And so you've got to think, how's this going to be in 10 years or 20 years? Because if you think about it just in the time of we're going to change something for next month, then it doesn't get done. I mean, you've got to be thinking 10, 20, 30 years down the road. Even but generationally, the Indians think that you should be planning for 7 generations, right?
Right. And as a local land manager, that's the lowest level you can get, really, is town and city, you know, then you got the state, then you got the feds. You have to think about the long term more than just short term, don't you?
Yeah, I think, and then, you know, and I think that's, you know, I think Carbondale's done such a good job of that compared to other areas. And you know, Carly and I are kind of looking now to downsize and what are we going to, you know, can retire and age in place and all that. And I look at Carbondale as where I'd like to be. I really think Carbondale really has its act together because it does. There is vision in what in our town government and in the people that live in Carbondale. They are thinking for the future, their children, their grandchildren, and so forth.
What bothers me a little bit, though, is can this last? You know, the fact that, you know, I live in Carbondale too, and I love this town. But once you pledged, when you were on the trustee board, you pledged maintaining Carbondale's small character while still supporting sustainable growth. How do you do that?
You know, I think at this stage of the game, I don't know that I'm afraid there is no such thing as sustainable growth anymore. I really am. I mean, I do. And back then, you know, when they'd ask you, well, what a small town character? Well, it's the cattle drives through town. We still got that going, right?
Right.
But you know, now, you know, I sit every day I drive to work, and knowing where we are with our climate crisis, which I do think is a crisis. I think it's these feedback loops are happening faster and faster. Unless you have net zero on new buildings, new development, then I think it's disingenuous what you're doing, because there is no such thing as sustainable growth unless it's net zero
right
going forward.
Right. You've been doing some things since you did retire from the trustee board. And one is you write a column. We have that in common, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
What prompted you want to start a column?
You know, I don't know. I ran into John Stroud a couple of months ago. Well, it has been longer than that, a year ago now. Probably I said, you know, when I get off the board, I'd really like to write a column. And I have been interested in writing for a while. And I actually took a course at CMC, a memoir course. So I'm kind of, you know, enjoying it. Those writing muscles are real muscles as well as the rest of it. They need work, and so I really am trying to, you know, put my memoirs down. And it's more of not to sell books, but I want that history that I have about my grandmother and my parents and myself that's not lost to future generations of our family.
Right. Yeah. The thing's really worth carrying through past yourself.
Yeah. And you know, and then another thing, even part of that too on the columns is I wait to see what's going to happen in that month that really touches me, that say, well, that'd make a good column. And I hope my columns, you know, make people think about different issues that I think are front and center, you know, in the Roaring Fork Valley and in Carbondale in particular.
You know, you sponsored, I hope you still sponsor, the No Drilling in Thompson Divide. And you said that when you sponsored that, you held to the long-held belief that there are places too special to drill. And I have to agree with that with Thompson Divide. It's such a beautiful area that's not wilderness, but in a way is, just at our doorstep, right in our backyard.
Yeah, obviously. It is. I still hold to that, there are a lot of places that are too special to drill. That's one of them that's certainly worth it. And, you know, that when people rallied around that cause, it brought back the memories of 1968 when we were in the Vietnam War, and it just seemed so hopeless. Robert Kennedy, you know, people had started following him, believing he could actually stop that war, and then he got assassinated. And anyhow, the way I saw these people in Carbondale come together and talk about these issues, it really brought that spirit from 1968 into the present day.
And there's something about Carbondale that is multicultural, and it's, you don't find that everywhere.
No.
And I think that is a special thing I hope we're able to keep in this town. One other thing you said that, you know, you recommend for people to do is follow your heart. And I try to do that myself. It's not always easy, but
no.
If people can follow their heart, then you know you don't get all stressed out all the time about stuff you have no control over.
Well, that's right. And you know, if you can keep yourself, you know, centered with someone that believes in you, that which I've been really blessed to have for 35 years going on now. That it leads you to where if you can follow your heart and have as few regrets as possible and how you, 'cause there's no such thing as living a life with no regrets, I don't think. But so don't hold yourself to too high a standard there. But you know, you need to try to have as few as possible. So I think following your heart helps you get there.
And the thing you recommended in your closing this speech when you retired was to finish strong.
Yeah, and I tell you, that's a tough one too, because I have that written down on my little daily quiet time page as well, and to finish strong, and there's days when I don't even feel like finishing at all, much less
right.
Finishing strong.
Oh,
as you get older, and that becomes harder and harder, but it's I think it's important for people to realize that you know this is a long journey, and you need to finish it up strong, yeah,
for sure,
however you can.
One thing you supported that I appreciate myself is you're enthusiastic about First Fridays and the town's commitment to spending 1% of your budget on nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about why you guys made that decision.
Gosh, you know that what I think that was happening before I was elected, but I certainly always supported it, and I think it you know, and I remember Stacy saying, you know, just about every year when we'd go through that budgetary process, that, you know, it may not be much that we can give to every charity, but the thing that it does to do with those nonprofits, as I understand really is the political correct way to say that now, so
right.
Slap me on the side of the face, but you know, it enables them to say, well, the town of Carbondale supports us, and that's a big deal in the Roaring Fork Valley for when a nonprofit or anyone can go anywhere and say, the town of Carbondale supports us. People snap to attention, and I always like to tell the story about when I was working with Senator Swartz on the wildlife speed limits, nighttime speed limits, is when they introduced me to the test fund from that the House and Senate committees, and they'd say, "This is Frosty Murat from Carbondale, Colorado." Everybody dropped. I mean, they looked up from what they were doing, and they'd say, "Are you? You're from Carbondale?" And I say, "Yes, I am." And they would actually pay attention, and it's pretty impressive how people from all over the state know where Carbondale is, what it stands for, and what it's done and doing.
One thing you were part of the decision to do was to have marijuana shops here in town, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
that was a little bit controversial at the time. Well, it was a lot controversial at the time, but it worked out, yeah.
So are you glad you've made that decision?
Yeah, I think it's been good. I think a lot of the things that people were really scared were going to happen didn't come to fruition. I think it's it was time to get it to out in the public eye. You know, looking back from, you know, another one of those things from 50 years ago, you know, in North Louisiana, it was not really, it was pretty well frowned on back
right.
then, you know, and there was a lot of people, you know, of color who you know, were arrested over the years for insignificant possession of marijuana that needed to stop. You know, there's some real strong evidence that a lot of the medical uses are really helping a lot of kids, you know, with diseases that there's maybe no other treatment for. So I think it's been positive. It's been positive for sales tax and the monies that we've made from it have gone to good causes. So I think it was absolutely the right decision.
Seems that Carbondale is a lot of times in the forefront of things like that, and I think Carbondale was one of the first communities on the Western Slope to take that on and tackle it, weren't you?
Yeah, we actually had the first store on the Western Slope, retail store on the Western Slope. And so when we did our rules and regs, and Stacy was mayor then, and a lot of towns came in and basically did theirs, started with ours as their prototype, because we were very thoughtful. Our group of with basically two different boards, you know, spent a lot of time, and we didn't get it right the first time. You know, there was things we needed to change. But we came back and amended and modified, and you know it was pretty clear once, you know, that you didn't really need five grows in Carbondale. The odors were bad on people that were close to it and stuff like that. So we made a good effort at it the first time, and then came back and modified it to make it where it's very workable now.
You were a supporter of Clear, Core, and GCE. What does GCE stand
for? Garfield Clean Energy. And I think that when I remember riding up to I think it was to Rifle, to the first meeting of Garfield Clean Energy with Michael Hassig, and of course he was mayor at the time, and I think I may have been one of the first reps on GCE from Carbondale. And it was an effort to bring clean energy to Garfield County, and to combine that with Core, which is basically kind of out of Aspen Pitkin County, and Clear, which is really now local to most but they've all those entities, they've done really good work over the years, and to set good examples for clean energy, and you know, looking back, I mean, you know, if I'd have really had vision. Mm-hmm. You know, 10 years ago, I would have been talking about zero energy, net zero building then instead of now. Because had we started talking about it 10 years ago, and we're talking about it now, we might be a little further along down that road. I mean, we're running out of time on this issue, I think.
I think we're running out of time on a lot of issues, aren't we?
Yeah, I think you're right. I thought you were referring to the radio show, but okay. There seems to be a lot of issues that have a lot of passion around them right now, and we don't seem to be getting much leadership on them. And to me, that goes back to that vision thing. You've got to have vision on these issues. I mean, if we had the vision, I'm confident that we could fix some of these things, but if we don't get started on it, it just moves it further and further out into the future, and it may be too late. At some point it's going to be too late.
Right. I was a community liaison with the Forest Service when I was here in this part of the world working instead of out of the supervisor's office, and I like that word liaison. You were liaison to Parks and Rec Commission and the Chamber of Commerce and the Town Tree Board. What did you feel like you were able to accomplish as a liaison?
You know, I always felt, you know, well, I started out, it was interesting, I'll segue a little bit, but when I first moved to Carbondale in 1998, I saw on the public television there was a little ad for the environmental board needed some new members, and I said, oh man, that sounds like something I'd be interested in doing. And so I went to the board meeting, and it was a really good group of folks. Lori Loeb, it seems like, was there. Jeff Dickinson was on it, and I said, well, I'm so glad to be on this board. And Jeff Dickinson said, not so fast, Frosty. You haven't passed your FBI background check yet.
Oh,
okay. So thank goodness he never ran that. But at any rate, so I started out, you know, I was on the board, and I was on the tree board, and I don't think I was ever on Parks and Rec, but I wanted to learn more about it, and that's why I liaisoned there, and the chamber the same way, because I had a business, and I felt like I could give some good input to it. And now I'm actually on the executive board of the chamber, and I'm on the e-board, actually, right now. So I've come circle back, and that's part of that finish strong and, you know, keep working at stuff. But the liaison, you know, from the council position is very important to bring, because there's a bunch of good folks that spend a lot of volunteer time on Parks and Rec or on the trees. And we've made a lot of progress in how we plant things, what trees can be planted, how they're taken care of, all that stuff over the years. And so the liaison is always very important because they can take that, you know, makes those people that are spending those volunteer hours, makes them feel like they're not doing it for nothing. They're accomplishing something with their time they're giving up with their families to come do their volunteer work,
right.
Something they believe in.
You know, the one thing that I like about living here is in Carbondale is it's a bike town. It really is. I mean, we've got bike trails everywhere. What worries me a little bit is you watch the traffic on Main Street, and either people that don't live here or people that don't care going too fast, you know, when I like being able to ride the bike down Main Street. You can't do that in Glenwood Springs.
Right, yeah.
So how do we get people that move here to not bring their baggage with them and adjust to how we live here, especially in terms of people respecting riders on bikes?
You know, that's another place where we have a really good working committee, the Bikes and Ped, Bikes and Pedestrian Committee. Ben Bumfolk's done a lot of good work with them. And, you know, I think it's just keeping it front and center and educating folks about it. And I think our police department does a really good job of not heavy-handed enforcement there, but trying to educate people for the motorist and the bikers, because, you know, even going back to the roundabout, when we did the roundabout, you know, technically, if you're going to ride your bike through the roundabout, you're supposed to be in the traffic lanes, right? And if you're going to go through with the lights, you get off your bike and walk it through as a pedestrian.
Right.
And still people don't do that. And speaking of that today, I mean, just coming, going home today for lunch, there was a gentleman, and he was flying on his bike down Main Street, and he gave a signal that he's going to turn right. And I said, he's going too fast to turn right in front of him. So I sat there, but man, he made that turn. And so we got some really good bikers around here too. So
right. Yeah.
But you have to keep your head on the swivel of both either in the car or on the bike.
Just pay attention is what's important. You know, when you were that 10 years spent, on the town trustee board, were you able to see into the future yourself where we would have an economy built on tourism, the arts and nonprofits, healthcare and sustainability?
You know, I always thought that Carbondale had a kind of a three-legged stool for their economy, and it was tourism, which involves the arts community, and it was tourism and healthcare, because of what Valley View put in that satellite office here, I think, is really good.
Right.
And then the sustainability because of all the jobs. And then the fourth leg, though, was always something, you know, I'm not sure what it's something we don't know what it is yet. I still think that's true. I still think there's something out there that is going to, the people are going to say, man, this is a really neat place to we could build our business here and do something really good. And it may be in the sustainability faction, you know, there, that they may be able to do it there. But there's something like North Face almost was that, right?
Right.
But that's been 15 maybe years ago. But there's something else, I think, out there that's going to join forces with our tourism and our healthcare and that's
good. And what about agriculture? You know, to think there's a future for agriculture. I know if I was owning land, I might want to just sell it to a developer and try to get out of it. It's a hard working field.
Yeah, it's a lot of work but it doesn't seem like a lot of reward. But it's you know, but that's what makes Carbondale a really neat place to live, because if everything ever blew up, we could feed ourselves here. We've got water from the water sources. We could provide water. And so when Maslow's need hierarchy, you know, food and water are those primary things. And so Carbondale could do that if you know, push came to shove.
Oh, well, I like the fact we get our water from Nettle Creek. We get it from Mount Soprus. I don't think a lot of people know that.
Yeah, and it's one, you know, we got a couple of wells in the Crystal, but we also almost had a call on the Nettle Creek last year, because when we were deep into the drought before this last winter, right. And it was not really put out there. There was an article in the newspaper not just recently, but that was one of the things that inspired us to do that that VCAPS work that Heather Henry's been working so hard on about the. I had to write this down because I don't remember vulnerabilities, consequences, adaptation, and planning of water. Because the Nettle Creek is one of our primary, and it's better than any bottled water you can buy.
Oh, absolutely!
You know, it's wonderful water. You know, coming right off the glacier of Mount Sopris. Yes,
absolutely. That's one of the things I like about living here is we got good water.
Yeah.
Carbondale and Glenwood both. Glenwood's got the flat tops, and we got Mount Sopris. What more could you want?
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I sure enjoy talking with you. I'm glad you were able to come, and thanks for being with us today. You've been listening to For Land's Sake, and I'd like to remind you that whatever you do to Mother Nature, be sure you do it for land's sake, and tune in to us the second Tuesday of every month at 4:30. And until then, this is Bill Kite. Thank you, Frosty.
Thanks, Bill. Pleasure.